Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you, as we have this pioneering heart, to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We are on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you. Father, we just thank you as we have gathered to come under your word, that, Lord, that you would speak very clearly to us. It's your word. It's what you've declared. And all of us need instruction, need understanding. But also, Lord, there needs to be faith and an outworking of your grace amongst us this morning. So, Lord, will you guide us and lead us as the word goes out and when we be changed. And may we do what you've called us to do now. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, life is full of many challenges, and unfortunately, you got to get up in the morning and you got to do some things, and we got to live life. And life is just not about the natural things of eating and doing the normal things of going to work. There's an aspect to our spiritual life that we really need to be fighting for, and that's why this message that I'm continuing to preach into, contending for the New Testament church, and that key word I want to really just encourage you with is contending. What has happened in the world, and we found with COVID and that, is that people have become complacent. The world we live in, people are sitting back and not taking up their role of actually fighting for what's ahead of them. And I want to just really encourage you, this life that you have been called to live in Christ is a one of contending in faith. And we got to live by faith and not by sight. And I want to just really encourage you, if your life is just about living the normality of getting up in the morning, going to work, making a living, providing for your family, looking for holidays, and those type of things, I think you've missed it. You've got to be contending for the things that God has put before us. He's called upon your life, the word that he's put in your heart, and the outworking of that is you take up your role to exercise faith. Faith is not just meant to be something that you've received, but something that has to be expressed, and that has to be expressed through the word of God. And I really want to encourage you, there's a contention that we've got to be taken in our hearts, that you've got to rise up and take that responsibility. Yes, God has gone before us, and we have received the grace of God, but there's something of contending by faith. You cannot please God but by faith. We don't live by sight, but we live by faith in his word. And there's something of that expression of faith that needs to be a reality. So I really just wanted to encourage you that don't let complacency become your lifestyle. Don't just sit back and think, well, it's all going to happen. No, we've got to do something about it. We've got to be led by the Spirit of God, but then we've got to rise up and we've got to walk by faith and not by sight. So again, I encourage us that we continue the series of contending for the New Testament church. I really believe God is building that amongst us, and we're contending for these aspects. And I've encouraged you over the number of weeks now about Jesus bringing the new wine, and the new wine being Christ, and bringing the outworking that into our lives, and Jesus being the head of his church, the living in Christ, the foundation of love, the Holy Spirit's power. And last week, we looked at good biblical leadership. But today, I want to get into a few more points. So hopefully, we're going to get going a bit faster in this time. The next point is constant salvations. The New Testament church should be having constant salvations. Now, I'm sure you can all remember the time where you gave your heart to the Lord and that testimony in your own heart when it became an absolute reality. And I really do believe is that the New Testament church, according to Acts 2:24, those who received the word were baptized, and there were added to that day about 3,000 souls. God continuing to add to the church. But you know, my concern when it comes to this thing of salvation, I've seen of the late, in the 80s, I remember seeing many, many people were coming to the Lord. And I don't know if the Lord is holding back his spirit, but I still believe God is a saving God. But I think what has actually happened in the life of the church, that the church, and I include myself when I'm talking about, has relegated the responsibility of bringing people to salvation to ministries, to those that are doing crusades, to the evangelists, and the church is not rising up to take their responsibility of bringing people to salvation. And I want to just say I'm challenged, because I really believe the Lord wants us to change and to carry this testimony of him for people to come to know the Lord. And one of the things what we need to contend for salvation, and I want to just say to you, is our families. Our families are absolutely key to come to know the Lord. And I know most days, Nikki and I, we actually praying for our family to come to know the Lord. Have I seen it? No, I haven't necessarily seen it, but there's something that we need to be contending for our families to come to know. Every single one of you in your families, I'm sure there are people in your family that do not know the Lord. He's raised you up to be a testimony in your family. And I want to just say to you that we need to be contending for that. I know the Lord adds to his church, but when we contend with our family, now how do you do that? I really believe we've got to be led by the Spirit of God. And I want to just say is that don't forget your families. Those families that God has placed, your bloodline that you have there, those are precious to you. Do not neglect them, but continue to read. This is your family, but God has also called you to reach out to them. So continue to love them through friendship evangelism, being there for them in a wonderful way and allowing God to reach out to them. So whether it's a phone call, whether it's having them for those family meetings of Christmases or family get-togethers, do not neglect those things. So we've got a bigger outreach, and let's trust God for our families. I really even want to just sense now, every one of you got family members here, and I just want to just even now pray that our families, and if you want to bring those names up before the Lord, as I pray that these family members, I even sense in your families there are prodigals that have run away from God, that have been led astray, that are wallowing in darkness now, but need to come back to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that this is the testimony of the New Testament church, is that men and women will come to know you, and especially our family. And Lord, we bring our families before you. We know them by name, but you know the very hairs on their head, and you love them. And Father, your word says, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Lord, we ask that you would take the scales off their eyes, that Lord, that when the truth is preached to them, that they will be set free, and that, Lord, they will come to a place to confess you as Lord and Savior, and not only confess you as Lord and Savior, but, Lord, that they will radically follow you. And we pray for that breakthrough even today, Lord, over our families, Lord, over our mothers, over our fathers, our grandparents, our children, aunts and uncles, cousins, all those people that we might not even see regularly, Lord, as we are praying for them. We just thank you for breakthrough in this area. Father, will you even send people across the workers across their path, that these men and women can come to know you as Lord and Savior. Pray for our young people, Lord, our young family to come to know you. We pray for our friends. I pray for our work colleagues, that they would come to know you, Lord. We pray for the evidence of this, that, Lord, not necessarily only into the life of this church, but into the church, that many would come to know you, whether they're scattered right around the world, wherever they are at this point in time. We just thank you, Lord, for bringing breakthrough into their lives, in Jesus' name. So I want to just encourage you is that if you're not asking God, you're not going to receive. And a key component of salvation is to be asking God for salvation for the lost. And I really do believe we need to, the desire for the lost needs to come back to our hearts. And I want to encourage you in your personal lives to be praying for the lost. Ask God to give you a desire for the lost. Yes, we pray for peace in our nation, and that's good to pray for. We pray for the prosperity of our nation. But our nation will prosper when people come to Christ. And we really need to be trusting God for that. The Bible does say there will be a great outpouring in the last days. But I think it's ushered in through prayer. And we need to be ushered in, and do not lose the desire for the lost. Jesus came for the lost sheep. He came for the lost Israel, and even today, that's still his heart to reach out. He's a good shepherd. He's looking for those that are lost. And every one of you, and I really encourage you in this week to come, ask the Holy Spirit with men and women upon your heart to pray for, and as you pray for them, do something about it. Maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's to invite them out for a cup of coffee or to invite them into your home. You know, you'd be surprised. This friendship evangelism through hospitality, I think COVID has robbed us of that, those days of where we would actually get together and we would invite people into our homes. And I wanted to say, start to invite people into your homes again. Let's start to do that. Let's be hospitable again. I know you're busy and I know things are expensive, but you don't have to do expensive stuff. A cup of tea and a cup of coffee and a biscuit is all that is needed. You don't have to be a big splurb, and it's not an impression thing, but let's open up our homes. Let's make activity of inviting people into our homes, and out of that draw people to know Christ. You are the best representative of Christ. Yes, we can get an advertising campaign and we can put all the blurbs up and do all those things, but you personally and the love that you have in your heart and Christ in your heart, as you just share your life, and it's not because you're supposed to be an evangelist. No, you do the work of an evangelist, but God does it through you. And I want to encourage you, one of the greatest joys is to lead someone to Christ. I want to tell you, it's a great joy. Andrew, can I embarrass you? Andrew was traveling back from varsity the other day on the Gaut train, and you want to come and tell the story? No. And a guy, I think he was quite a rough character, but he got started to share with him and shared, and this guy had his life all messed up, and Jesus, Andrew spoke to him about the Lord, and he actually got to a place where he said, well, you want to make a decision for your life? And the guy made a decision for his life, you know, so you share your life. And you know, you can see people in your workplace, people that are going through tough times, pray for them and ask them, just tell them the answer is Jesus. You know, he's not the crutch, but he's the answer. And he's the one that will transform their lives. So please contend for your families. We try and do that like the spring breakfast. Now, the spring breakfast is, yes, we're going to have a wonderful celebration for spring coming, but it's actually to reach out to your family and your friends and your work colleagues and start working on that now to invite people to come and join us over a meal. There's no religious service in that, but it's coming, seeing people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to just say, God is also bringing the difficult people. Pray for those difficult people to come through. Paul was a very difficult man. He was a man that persecuted the church. He was going around and he was getting even Stephen. He was standing there when Stephen was stoned. He got orders from the Sanhedrin and he was off to Damascus. But I'm sure the church was actually praying for Paul. And how God actually met him in a supernatural way on that road to Damascus, and how Paul was transformed and God arrested him. And he was supernaturally filled with the Spirit, got baptized, and went around declaring immediately after that. If that can happen to Paul, it can happen to those, the tough nuts. There's some tough nuts that we're dealing with. And I wanted to say, pray for them. God is in the business of cracking nuts, and he can crack the lives of people's lives. There was a sermon when we were still at Cornerstone. I remember Gavin Clark preached it. He says, when the penny drops. And there was a couple that were in the church that day, when the penny dropped, they understood who Christ was. And I want to tell you, their lives were broken before. They were unmarried with children. They were into the dark world. But when Christ came into their hearts, transformed them. Yes, it wasn't easy, but transformed them and changed them. And their lives were changed forever. And I want to just tell you, you have the opportunity to share this wonderful gospel, the good news. I don't know if you realize what good news this really is. There's a world out there in such darkness, such hopelessness. When you read the news, it gives you no hope. But when you come with the good news of Jesus, that he not only gives us eternal life, but he comes to live inside of us, and he comes to love individuals. You know, we need to understand this wonderful grace gift of eternal life that every one of us has received, and we need to be sharing that with others around us. So I really encourage you, the church needs to have constant salvations in it. And in a sense, I want to ask the Lord to forgive us because we've neglected our role. Father, I just want to just say is that you love men and women and you sent your son to die on the cross. That, Lord, that men could come to know you. And so, Father, we have failed. I look at myself too, Lord, that we haven't been declaring you wherever we find ourselves. And, Lord, this is not something where you're condemning us, but, Lord, just encouraging us. And, Father, as we again, as we change our ways and we make ourselves available, Lord, will you use us as your family to give the testimony of Jesus, to give hope to a dark and dying world, to give them to a place to know that you're a God that loves them, not to condemn this world, but to bring them to the light and to come and see you. Not a religious experience, but come into an intimate personal relationship with you. And Father, I ask, will you give us, as your people gathered here in church on the way, will you give us success of leading people to Christ? Father, we don't want to go and do crusades. We don't want to go and do these things that are seemingly the right thing to do. But Lord, through friendship, give us friendships that, Lord, to be able to break into people's lives now. In Jesus' name, amen. Then further with contending with the New Testament church, the next point is immediate water baptisms. In Acts 2:41, it says again that they were immediately baptized. And we understand, I know that in the church it's a contentious issue about baptism, but it's very clear Jesus showed us the way that he was baptized in the Jordan, went under the water, and there was a presence of God that came through it. Even Jesus in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, he said, once he received all authority, he said, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. So yes, make disciples, but baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I really do believe that baptism is a twofold. It's a water baptism, and it's also a baptism in the Holy Spirit, continually being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I think that's such a key thing. Why do we do water baptism? It's a public profession of our state, of our faith in Christ. It symbolizes that we have died to this world, that we have and we've risen alive. So why do we see people go through that exercise? It's not a religious exercise. It's something of what's really taken place in your heart. And it's such a key thing is that the Bible tells us to do that. It's one of the few things under the New Testament that it's in a sense a command to us to be baptized, to be water baptized. And we want to continue to do that. And if you haven't been water baptized, I want to encourage you, come and we'd love to do some teaching, more teaching in regard to that. And we'd love to baptize you in a pool, maybe in someone's home, or even up here on the patio where we've done it before. It's something that changes your life. It honestly does. There's got to be a public confession of who are you following. Now, you know, under the Muslims, you can confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior and they don't mind. But as soon as you get water baptized, they know that you are sealed. You no longer following Islam. You actually following the one that you baptize into. And I want to just say there's a profoundness of being water baptized. Now, the Catholics have the wrong view that you need to be baptized to be saved. That is wrong. But you need to be, once you've been saved, you need to be baptized to have a public profession of your faith. So I really want to encourage us is that immediate water baptism. There's something, if you delay the thing, there's something that the immediacy of what God has actually done in your life doesn't become a reality. So we need to have immediate water baptism. So once people get saved, it seemed like the Bible did that immediately. They found some water and they got baptized. We see Philip the evangelist did that too, immediately got water baptized. So the next point is, in contending for the New Testament church, is true discipleship. And I'd like you to get to your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 42 to 47. This is profound as the church came together and as the New Testament started to work out, they started to work out how to live. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers, and all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now it seems the scripture gives us a checklist of how the New Testament church needs to work. Now, we had a pilot in the life of the church many years, Eric Downey, and he used to tell me all the stories about being a pilot. But a pilot works on a checklist. And I don't know, a checklist, when there's so many things that can go wrong, they have to tick off those things. They've got to go through the checklist on before they take off, when they're taking off, when they land, all those things they've got to go through. And it's amazing sometimes the things that they forget and they see it on the checklist. Oh, we haven't done that. And it actually saves the day. I'm training an accountant, and I know when you go through month ends and stuff like that, you better have a checklist because you think you know what you're doing, and so many times you forget the thing because you haven't checked those things. And I wanted to say, if some of those checklists or to-do lists are such an important thing. There's a moving to-do list, but there's a checklist in life. But for spiritual things, I want to just say there's a checklist that the scripture here seems to intimate that we need to be working out in our lives. And it says, yeah, they devoted themselves. Now, that's a heart action. Is that it's not something you're not forced to do this in any way. It's a decision that you make. You take accountability. You take responsibility for this thing. You see the value of the thing, and then you devote yourself to that, and you give yourself to those things. So it's something that you've got to do. And it says here, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, the apostles were teaching from the Old Testament and were bringing the new revelation of the resurrected Christ and understanding. But we are blessed today, because we have received the canon of Scripture, we received the Old Testament, we received the New Testament, and we have this, what we call the Scriptures, which is the Word of God. We've been given the Word of God. And here, the New Testament church didn't have it, but we have the New Testament that has been revealed to us, and we need to be devoted to the Word of God. And I just wanted to say is that I remember Gloria coming and say, why does she come on a Sunday? And I remember it was her testimony. To be under the Word. It's not under the preacher. It's, yes, there's worship here, but it's to be under the Word, the value of the Word of God. And I want to just say that I really believe the church has become very weak when it comes to the Word of God. The scripture says in let me just read John 8, verses 31 to 32. And Jesus was talking to the Jews who had believed him. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, the truth in that context is the Word of God, and we need to know the Word of God. And if I can encourage you, there's an element, it's not just reading the Scriptures, but it's to get to know the Word of God. This thing of memorizing Scripture. Judy at the back there memorizes Scripture. She's very strong in remembering Scripture and proclaiming the Scriptures. And I want to say that's got to be for all of us. Your mechanism, you know, you want an education. And we go and get an education at school. We maybe get further education and we get those degrees in that. But let me tell you, the education that God wants us to understand and to know His Word. And when we know His Word, we apply it. There's an application of the Word. And I find that the weakness of the church today is that we're not turning to the Word of God. We are turning to the mechanisms of the world, the understanding of technology, and we're trying to find those resources, and that's not the answer. The answer is when we meditate on the Word of God, when we proclaim the Word of God, and we apply God's Word to our circumstances, that's when we're going to see breakthrough. How did God get breakthrough? God created the heavens and the earth through the Word. And we need to, again, this Word has been given to us. The Holy Spirit will guide us and will lead us as we take hold of the Word. We will see the benefit and the life that comes through the Word of God. You know, one of the biggest concerns at the moment is through COVID, and that is depression and anxiety. And the Bible gives us very clear instruction from Philippians chapter 4. Be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God will come and guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What are we doing about that? We can hear it. I'm not going to be anxious. But it doesn't say that. It says with prayer, with petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and then God will bring you His peace. So when you apply the Word of God, so all of you have got, there are areas that you all have to learn about and these things that you've got to be overcoming in an application of the Word. You need to know your authority in Christ. You know, you need to know that you received every spiritual blessing in Christ. You need to know that in that blessing, God has provided healing and divine healing for you. God said, ask and you shall receive. You see, God has provided through his word, but when we apply, like even that scripture says, but you ask, you have not because you ask not. You see, that's the word of God. And we've got to take this word and we've got to appropriate this word of God and we've got to start living by it. You know, the Bible says that sometimes our faith is the great profession. It's the professing of God's word. And we need to be declaring, and Derek Prince talks about that, is the proclamation of God's word in and through our circumstances. We overcome through God's word. And it says here the church was devoted to the word of God, to God and his word. And I'm asking you, what you're going through, let's not only be hearers of God's word, but let's be doers of God's word. That's the New Testament church. And you know, we look at the saints of old, they knew the word. They knew the word. They held on to the word of God. And please, it's not wrong to go and see a doctor, but let's go to God's word first. Let's go to the healer first. Let's pray to him. Let's ask him and let him come through. Let his word come through. You see, and that was the order of that was first the word of God. And encourage yourself through the word of God. If you are reading and watching, I don't know how much time you're watching TV, and I'm not saying TV is wrong. There's some good stuff on TV. But be more in the word of God. Allow the word of God to encourage you. Even, can I just say, even ministries and stuff like that is good. And you can be encouraged through those things. But read the scriptures and work together with God the Holy Spirit to actually teach you his word. You know, have you ever asked the teacher, the Holy Spirit, to actually teach you his word? When you come to a situation and you don't know what to do and you say, Lord, teach me your word. What is the word in this situation? What do I need to hold on to? What do I need to profess in these situations? You see, that's when you're going to overcome. Overcoming is not fighting the devil. That's the lie. The devil has been defeated. You have authority over him. We need to resist him. We need to bind him. And we need to loose him from circumstances. But to overcome is to proclaim the word of God over your circumstances, where the need is coming to you, that God is for me, who can be against me? God is working for the good. I'm being thankful in all circumstances. You know, the kids will remember, and we haven't been doing it as they got a bit older, but every time that we used to drive to school, we used to have a whole bunch of scriptures that we used to say. Can you remember some of them, Andrew? he's on spot today. Sorry, Andrew. But we used to say a whole bunch of scriptures. And I remember Kayla came the other day, Dad, what was that scripture you used to say there? Because the word never returns void. Teach your kids the word. Teach yourself the word. Proclaim the word of God. And I'm not saying to get into a rote, but put the word first place. God has given us this word. You know, it's bigger than your bank deposit. It's bigger than millions and millions of US dollars in a bank account. The word of God never dies. It's there forever. And bury it in your heart and bury it in your mind, and you'll be incredibly blessed as you take on. So put the word, get into the word, read the word, meditate on the word of God, proclaim the word of God, get under the word of God, and you want to see your life changed forever. Get under the word of God. Then they were devoted to the fellowship, and I'm going to do a bit more about that. Then to breaking of bread. And I know we break bread here on occasion, but I really want to encourage you to break bread as families, and I want to encourage you to break bread individually and do it on a regular basis. Why? Because you remember what Jesus has done for us, and the Lord says you do this in remembrance of me. You've got to remember Jesus. You've got to remember our Lord and what he's done for you. And as we spoke earlier, when you remember what he's done for you, then you actually become appreciative of the salvation that you've received, that you've been put into this new covenant. And it's good to remember the sacrifice that Jesus died for you. Do you understand that? He actually not only physically died, he spiritually, eternally died for you. Where you were meant to be separated from God forever, Jesus went and did that for you. And we need to be appreciative and we need to be thankful, like that leper that came back and said, thank you. We need to be saying thank you to God for doing that. And there's something of that just keeps us humble. We deal with the flesh, we deal with the sin aspects in our lives, it brings us into the fullness of that. And then they were also devoted to prayer. Now, prayer, when you come to Christ, is a discipline that you're going to have to grow into. It's something that it's when we're in trouble, we find it easy to pray, but we need to grow in the discipline of prayer. And there's a school. I want to just say there's a school of learning how to pray. And I was just thinking the other day that when we go to the army and I'm trained and I get into an ambush and I'm with the soldiers with me, can I rely on those soldiers to work together with me to protect me? Yes, if they've been trained properly and they know their weapons and they can do it. But how many Christians can you rely upon to pray for you? How many people do you know that be able to come before the throne room of grace and actually intercede for you, and they can stand in faith, they can hold on to the word of God and actually bring breakthrough? I want to just say many Christians, the devil has been so clever to make the church weak in prayer. She's become weak in prayer. She doesn't see the value of it anymore. Jesus was devoted to prayer, praying into the situations, working to interceding. And I want to just encourage you, we've all got to grow in this area of prayer. It's an absolute vital. The church, early church, was devoted to that. So I want to take that and open it up a bit further in that. Firstly, is this true discipleship too, is that we know the story of Ananias and Sapphira, is that we can get it wrong when there's false discipleship and hearts can be led astray, and that's why we need one another, and God wants to protect us as we become true disciples. The next point is fellowship, and it's again Acts chapter 2, 42. This fellowship is based on covenantal relationships. We in covenantal relationship with one another. We're not just being put together as people that have come from different families and we've got an organization and we've got a structure and we gather together and we sing some songs and we get some scriptures and we get encouraged. No, we've been brought into an intimate personal relationship with God and with one another. And that's such a key thing, is that you must know that you are the family of God. You belong to God and you belong to one another. We are going to be together forever. Do you know that? One day when we close our eyes, when God takes us into the spiritual realm to be with him forever, we're going to be together forever. And it's a good place to start practicing our intimate relationships here. And yes, we've all got issues, but God wants us to get intimate with one another. Religions of the world have a system, but God wants a family. And you are his family. God is our Father. You are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we need to find that. And none of us are perfect, but we need to work this out, this intimacy. And I want to just say this fellowship is such a key aspect of the church. We can become so structured and so organizational is that we push out this aspect of fellowship. God created you and I through the love command to love one another. He created us for fellowship and he created us for friendship. Jesus said to his disciples, I am your friend. And God expects us to be his friend, but he needs us to be friends with one another. And I want to encourage you. I know we all come from multiple disciplines and different families, but all of us need to be family. We really need to work, and that's worked out through fellowship. And I want to say that this COVID has actually robbed us of that aspect of fellowship. We don't want to meet together. Why? Because yes, it was the right thing at that time to do. But you need one another. I need you. You need me. And we need to do this together. And there are so many pressures on your life. Why not to actually fellowship? So we can't fellowship with everyone, but we need to at some time. You need to be talking to someone regularly. Not only to God, we need one another. You know, it's the chit-chat where you may be even getting together and you're not even talking about spiritual things, but you're just with one another. And that's how you get encouraged. And I want to encourage you is that one of the key purposes of here, yes, is to worship God and to come under the word of God, but it's actually for you to fellowship. Don't just run out the door there afterwards because you've missed the purpose of what God has got for us. God wants you to stay and you to get uncomfortable and actually open up yourself and to be a friend. Sometimes a lot of us are introverts and we don't like to communicate and we want to run away and we want to live in our own little world. I'm telling you now, you've got to step out of that. And you've got to be a friend. You want a friend? Be a friend. And you say, well, life's a lonely life. Well, it's lonely because you make it lonely. Be a friend and you'll be surprised how people will open up to you. And there's such beauty. I wanted to say that some of the greatest discoveries in life is the beauty and the wonder in one another. As you delve into people's lives and you hear about their lives and their stories they've got to share and their walk that they've had with God and the expression that they have in life, I want to encourage you to really do that. So in the life of the church, in your families, I really want to encourage you to spend time with your families, to get to know the spouses, to get to know one another, with your children, to cultivate family time. You know, and the meal time, and unfortunately, again, what's happened in the world is the TV's become more important, and we sit in front of the TV, and we have conversation with the TV. And yes, it's at times it's fine to do that. We did that as we watched the rugby yesterday. Sorry, Box. They were robbed, personally. But you need to have time where you can just sit and chat and have time together with your family and maybe not even talking about the serious stuff of life, but just talking. How was your day? Those questions we forget to ask. What was your high and what was your low today? You know, create that conversation and you'd be surprised and be able to express. Us guys, I want to just say, ladies, please forgive us. We don't like to talk. What went on with your day? Nothing. But everything happened. So you've got to draw it out of us, and you've got to find those things in us, and you've got to get us to the place to talk. I know Nikki loves to tell me everything, and I love hearing everything, but I don't like to say everything. That's how we create it. But we need to work it out together in our relationships with one another. So I want to just say, let's get the fellowship going in our families. It's the strength of our families, because otherwise we exist. And please don't sit across the table and WhatsApp one another. And it's happening. It's happened even in my family. They sit in their rooms and we're WhatsApping them, come to supper, you know. I want to encourage us, please, let's get into this covenantal intimacy with one another. We have vehicles in the life of the church. We have life groups. We have interest groups. We have the worship team with like interests. We got the cycling. We got the women of worth, the journaling on the way. All these things to get together to try and work out fellowship to one another. You know, we don't have to be organized. I was just sharing with the elders this morning. We went to a talk the other day. Is that the scriptures are based on the Hebraic understanding of living together, and that is around family and relationship. And Demi, this is not against you, but the Greek structure is very organizational. It's structured, it's hierarchy, it's ordered, it's seemingly wise, but the Hebraic way is relational, organic. And what we have done in the church is made the business model, which is the Greek model, come into the church, and we've tried to structure it that way. And it actually works, but it doesn't work. But when we start to work it as a family, and we see that it's organic, that it flows and it's led by the Spirit of God and it's relational and it's friendship. Even with your family, there's disciplines that need to be and there are boundaries that need to be. But as soon as you become organizational, you start to lose what God's created us to be and the freedom is lost. And we got to fight for that. We got to fight for relationship and we got to fight for this organic nature of the Spirit to flow through. So we're all on a journey and I really want to encourage God to teach us and to teach you, how do we become more organic and more authentic in this? How do we become more relational? I love the African people. I'll tell you why. Because they're never on time. Why? Because they're relational. Because if they see someone on the road and they walk into church in the morning, they stop and they talk. And they have a chat. And if they're late for church, well, they're late for church. But me, no, we must be on time. We start at 9 o'clock. We got a break, and I must say, we start at 9 o'clock. Okay. But the reality is we've got to find this gap in our lives where God comes and brings those things that don't seem organized in our lives and allow God to actually move through those things. So let's become more organizational, not organizational, organic. and learn to fellowship with another. And the last point for today is corporate prayer. And I did mention that about prayer. The church, early church, found the secret in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. They devoted themselves to prayer. Acts 1, 24, they prayed. 2:42, they broke bread and they prayed. There was an hour of prayer that the Jews did. They had a prayer meeting in the morning, in the evening. And then even in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, it says, yeah, when they prayed, the place that they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all full of the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. There's something of the wonder of prayer. John Wesley said, if I don't pray, I can't do what I'm meant to do. And I really, again, as I just mentioned earlier, is that ask the Holy Spirit to teach you to pray. And you'll be surprised. These things are such simple things, but I'm telling you, when we put this checklist together and we start to do them and grow in these areas, your relationship with God and the outworking of working with Him, you will see much power in your life. If you lack power in your life, I want to just say, try a little more prayer. Try a little more waiting upon Him. Try a little bit more putting the Word of God, breaking bread, these things, getting to fellowship, sharing with your life with one another. I'm telling you now, you will start to see dimension shifts in your life as never before. Let's not live according to the world, but let's live according to what God has actually taught. This is very simple, folk. But all I'm just saying to you is that if you're not doing it, you're not going to experience it. So you can say, well, those are good concepts. Well, I know I need to be under the word, and I know I need to break bread, and I know I need to be in fellowship, and I know I need to pray. Those are good things. I know it's God. I don't have any problems with that. But are you doing it? Let's be doers of God's word. And I'm telling you, as we work together with one heart, one mind, and I know our circumstances are all different, but all I'm asking you, what is the Lord telling you to do? And then go and do those things. And if you've got a gap in your checklist there, do something about it, please. Because I'm not trying to coerce you. You don't have to do any of this stuff. Do you know that? There's no compulsion from our heart. I'm encouraging you to do that. But you don't have to do anything because you're saved. But I'm telling you now, you're going to miss out on so much when you don't do it. Because this is God's pattern and His plan for His church. And you want to grow in Him and find the fullness, do this. And if there's a lack in your life and you're battling with these areas, come and talk to us. We're not ogres. We want to help you. We want to grow you. We want you to come into. I'm not trying to put a whip over you and say, do this. And then, no. I want you to hear God and what He's stirring in your heart. And then do these things. These are simple things, folk. It's not profound, but they're profound when you do them. When you take hold of these things and you allow them to become a living reality, this is the discipline of your life. I'm sharing with you secrets of my walk with the Lord. I know I've committed myself to God's word. I've committed myself to fellowship. I've committed myself to breaking of bread and to prayer. And I'm telling you, at times it's tough. Do I want to go to a life group every week? No ways. I'm finished. I don't want to sit there. I'm like sitting there and I don't even want to see these people, but I go. But I get blessed when I go there because they liven me up. They change me. Especially Dave and all his jokes. But I want to just say, it's not always easy. Do I want to go to a prayer meeting every time? Is it convenient? No. Is there stuff that has happened during the week? Absolutely. Do I get grumpy? Yes. But I want, no. Ask Nikki. When I get hungry and I'm tired, I must go outside the house. But I want to just say, you've got to contend with these things. And just hear my heart today. This is, again, I say, this is not profound stuff. But check your list. Let's do these things and let's contend for those loved ones that we love, and let's do these things and let's become true disciples of Christ. And then you're going to find this wonder. I just wanted to say to you, I'm not giving you a whip and I'm not whipping you in any way, but I'm asking you to consider these things, but make right with the Lord. Get the mix right, because you're making something wonderful, which is called His church. And when we get these things right, you know, if you're going through a tough time, get into fellowship. Don't go and tell the people anything what's happening. God knows. And when you get there, you'll be ministered to through whatever means. My toughest times, when I've determined not to neglect the gathering of the saints. It's not, and I want to say, folk online, wonderful, but you need to be in a meeting. Why? Because that's how God created it. I never created it that way. When we're with one another, that's when we get encouraged, when God ministers to us and life comes to us. And someone will pop up in the meeting, the Spirit moves, and that's how God works. And we've got to find His way. That's His pattern, and let's do that. Let's not neglect. I hope you hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Very, very simple, but very profound. Can I pray for you? And then I'm going to hand over to Quentin. Lord, I thank You that You are building Your church. It is, it seems like it's childlike. It seems so simple, but Lord, it's so profound. And I really ask that as You've encouraged us this morning, Lord, to take us all deeper in these simple things. Help us to contend for the lost and help us to get into this place of being under Your word and putting Your word first and fellowshipping and breaking bread and praying individually and corporately. Will You do this amongst us, Lord? Will You stir our hearts to go deeper and further in You? This is not new truths, Lord, but these are truths that need to be firm foundations in our lives. So Holy Spirit, we hand ourselves over to You. Take us deeper and further now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Quintie.